On Clutch Radio, this is Kickoff with Neil Simons and Michael Thompson.
It's a very good afternoon if you're listening here on Clutch Radio for your Sunday afternoon. Michael Thompson, Neil Simons, and the returning Clem Tito joining us back here. Good afternoon, Clem.
Good afternoon, boys. So good to be back here. It's a surreal feeling, but excited to talk some football once again.
We've got a big show coming up for those on Clutch Radio. We're going to review the Socceroos game, a draw against Saudi Arabia on Thursday night. Neil was actually in attendance for that one at Combank Stadium up in Sydney. We're going to talk about the FFA Cup games too, because a plethora of games came through over the last couple of days. And we've got a few guests too. We've got TLL's Christina Trecheska. She's going to join us to talk everything ladies football, and they've done a fantastic job over the last couple of years or so in the women's game too. And it's good to see the A-League women's game completely building some steam ahead, a couple of weeks away before they start their season off. I think it's like early December they start in the A-League women's. And then we're going to be joined by Kick 360's Jack George as well to talk everything Sydney FC. But Clem, for the Clutch listeners out there, how was Tokyo? How was the experience of working in Tokyo over there for the last couple of weeks before you decided to vacate over in Europe?
Yeah, I guess it was quite a unique situation going there amidst a global pandemic. But look, going into it, we, you know, 14 days hotel quarantine and then straight into work. But just being able to see so many events, see Australia win gold medals and so many different events. And then in terms of the football side of things, unfortunately, didn't get to see too much live, but was able to see the gold medal match between Brazil and Spain in the men's. And then in the Paralympics, football five-a-side final between Argentina and Brazil, which was such a ripper to see live as well, and so inspirational. So it was a great experience overall in Tokyo, Tomo.
And I was going to say too, you did catch up with a couple of the players too for coffees over there in Tokyo too, and one particular good friend of yours, Tommy Deng.
Yeah, caught up with Tommy Deng out in Narara, so that was quite a good experience to see how he's going over there. Someone that, you know, obviously sort of had a bit of history here in Melbourne, doing a lot of sort of interviews, articles with, and to be honest, as a person, he's such a great person, Tommy Deng, and I'm so happy for how he's going. Hopefully, we'll get a bit more game time in the J League, but yeah, he's going really well.
And Neil, how's your week been?
Yeah, I'm tired, man. Obviously
traveling the country at the moment.
Yeah, it was a Hume on Wednesday.
Big star.
Melbourne, Sydney, Melbourne.
Yeah, 7 a.m. flight the next day.
You were gonna go to you were gonna go up the highway to Geelong last night, but you're like, nah.
I'm kind of regretting it because it was actually a good game. Like, just pandemonium. We'll obviously touch on it soon, but oh my word. But yeah, good week. Good to see Combank. Yeah, saw the Wanderers training base as well. Rudy Hill got 9 pitches. It's impressive. They've got more to come too. So. Very good stuff.
A little bit of scoop there. But speaking of which, we will touch on now the Socceroos. Thursday night with the Socceroos in Saudi Arabia. Neil, you were up there with Tom Williams as well as fans. And first up, the atmosphere. Good to see the Socceroos getting to play in front.
It was absolutely pissing down, though. It was pissing down. But it was really good. Yeah. No, you continue before.
I would say the atmosphere was fantastic, though, to watch, to see it on TV, that the fans back. We're getting to watch Socceroos for the first time in a couple of years. Thoughts on that first?
Look, Arnie Ball is in full swing. I feel as if it was the individual players' displays that really let us down. I think there were numerous instances in which we could have taken the lead, especially that double save. I think it was off a free kick. I think it was maybe Martin Boyle, I'm not sure. But Jackson Irvine missed a sitter. The conditions really played into shape. Aiden Hrustic was really good. But I think the main talking point is Harry Suter. I think he's on his ACL, to be honest. It sucks. I mean, he's going to be... Premier League clubs are circling around him, and it is what it is. But I guess the whole experience was great. You know, seeing Combank Stadium again for the first time since, I think, May was fantastic. And, yeah, the active support was good. They put up a TIFO with There's No Place Like Home. To me, it looked like There's No Place Like Hume. Ironic, because I was in Hume the day before. but, yeah, it was a really good contest. And, yeah, 0-0's not great, but... And when it gets China is of paramount importance.
And that's a must for sure. Wednesday morning, 2 a.m, we play China in that one.
Is it a Tuesday morning, or am I wrong? Let me have a look.
I'm probably wrong because the time zones are very, very different, as always. But our next game is against China, and Clem, the Socceroos.
Oh, you're right, actually. Never.
It's Wednesday morning.
Yeah, here we go.
Neil, you're doubting the big dog.
No, I saw Tuesday. I was like, oh, it's probably like UAE time because they're playing there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But... Clem as well, Socceroos, big to take away from that Saudi game, but hopefully come Wednesday morning, I'll just say Tuesday for a minute there.
Bloody hell. Yeah.
Wednesday morning, hopefully we can get at least a win against China in a foreign country.
Yeah, I guess the Saudi game, you want to pick up maximum points at home, and that didn't happen. So I guess it's not quite panic stations just yet, but I think, you know, in the end, we should get to Qatar tomorrow, but hopefully, yeah, I mean, China's we have to win. Like, I mean, that's a cliche in itself, but it's one of those ones where you know, we have to go over there and get the full points. But yeah, it's funny enough, I randomly remembered just the other day that it's a game that literally not many people would remember, but in 2008 was we lost to China at home 1-0, like in the World Cup qualifiers. If anyone remembers that,
I don't remember that actually.
Yeah, it was a huge upset. No, it was a bit of an upset, no. But we qualified for that World Cup quite comfortably in the end. But yeah, that was quite of a random sort of random result at the time. But yeah, I guess looking forward to this game. Must win and need to win, have to win. So going forward, I think we'll be fine. But yeah, I mean, with Japan as well to come, I mean, it's
a tough slog now.
They're not flying well as well, so we need to pick up those points and then get them as well.
We've got to get some sort of result against the Blue Samurais, that's for sure.
And I mean, they're playing Oman away.
Struggled to do.
Yeah. Playing Oman away against, I think that same time period, so... I mean, look, Japan is shaky. I mean, they, on that cow paddock in Vietnam, they managed to only win 1-0. So they looked meh as well, to be honest. But it is what it is.
They've looked pretty meh for a while as well, Japan. So
I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. Like, I've heard it's like a new generation of Japanese players as well. Obviously, you know more than me in terms of the... You obviously there in Japan, so I mean... I mean, like, I've got some youngsters, but I just feel like they haven't really... You know, ironed it out perfectly. Got some wonderful kits, though, I must say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it is a bit of that sort of analogy where, like, you know, all the, I guess, almost an analogy when in 2013 when Australia sort of went through their little bit of a sort of transition, and then, yeah, I guess they've lost a lot of, those big glamour names that, especially like your Hondas and whatnot. And then there's, you know, obviously the big, you know, that big sort of reliance, and, you know, Mae Yoshida is now quite sort of, he's so experienced now. They've obviously had the Premier League experience now in the Serie A.
There's only one or two players in that Blue Samurais international side. They've got European experience behind them, don't they?
Yeah, so it's quite different now.
I mean, like, you go on, sorry.
No, I was just saying, it's just quite different now, and almost like a bit of a reform, with what's going on.
I think, like, you know, you've got, like, what, Tomiyasu, Kubo. I don't even think Kubo actually makes squads now. I mean, the J-League's a stronger league now, so, you know, you see less and less Australians going there. Taggart's struggling to score there. He's actually injured, which is great. I mean, like, Mitch Duke's in, like, the second division. He's still getting caps for the Socceroos. Wasn't that great, to be honest, against Saudi. But, you know, I think we'll just see how Japan really fare, because they're obviously in the immediate focus. But, yeah, Saudi were fantastic, and... Yeah, I think Hove, I forgot his name, the coach of Saudi, but he did a really good job.
French guy.
Yeah, French guy, just, you know, looking like a Bond villain as well, so, yeah.
Or something off a nice Chanel poster or something like that.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Sweet.
Must win game for the Socceroos coming up against China Wednesday morning, that's for sure, guys.
Yep. No doubt. Obviously, Sudar's out, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's a shame about Harry Sudar too, because he was looking in fine form too. We're going to take a short break, though, because we're going to talk about everything FFA Cup in particular. Well, thankfully, though, Neil's actually been to about 30 different FFA Cup games in the space of a couple of days, so we'll touch base, that's for sure, in regards to the FFA Cup and what happens in the Victorian leagues. We'll talk about some of the New South Wales leagues too. We've got Christina Tracheska joining us as well from TLL, and then Jack George from Kick 360. So stick with us here on Clutch Radio for your Sunday afternoon. Neil Simons, Michael Thompson, and Clem Tito, who's back in the chair finally after 6 months sabbatical doing other work around the world.
You're listening to Kickoff on Clutch Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Clutch Radio for your Sunday afternoon here. Neil Simons, Michael Thompson, Clint Tito back in the chair after a short little stay in Japan and Europe, and enjoyed himself too, and got to actually do what we wish we were doing for the last 2 years, and that was traveling. bit jealous there, Clem, but that's okay. Glad you enjoyed yourself, though.
No, it was good. It was a good experience, and good to be back here in Melbs.
So we're going to start off with the games on Wednesday night, and in particular, we'll start off with the game at ABD Stadium. It was good to have local football back at ABD Stadium. It was good to see the NPL teams getting to play again for the first time since the cancellation of the 2021 NPL Victoria season. It was Hume City. It was Port Melbourne. It was a 3-1 win, wasn't it, Neil?
Yeah, it was great. Bernardo with a goal, came off the bench, obviously from Danny Thunder. Also, Josh Bingham getting the last-minute winner. It was intense, man.
It's a shame, too, because I know, Clem, you were sort of... You left the country at probably the middle part of the NPL season, but Josh Bingham was on fire even when you left as well over the course of the journey for Hume City, too. I've seen the... I called the Hume City Mombolk Rangers FFA Cup game, and Josh Bingham scored two goals in that one, too.
Against, was it State League One opposition?
Yeah. But it was, State League One opposition. But Josh Bingham was in very good form in the NPL season, too.
I think he was equal top goal scorer. I think it was maybe one behind Stefan Valentini.
I think so, yeah.
By the way, I don't know how he hasn't got an A-League contract. It's absolutely shambolic.
Yeah, you absolutely love Stefan Valentini.
Of course I do.
You're good friends with him as well.
Yeah.
But atmosphere, though, it was good to see a lot of people turn up to ABD Stadium in Broadie.
Yeah, it was great. You know, a lot of people there. Good to see some of the journos as well. Obviously, it's a new era in Australian football, and Ten Play have done a fantastic job getting three camera for NPL Victoria games.
I missed
the
Ziggy Zaga chance, that's for sure, from here.
Yeah, they were loud, man. They were very loud. I forgot what they're called, the Hume Ultras, but no flares were lit off, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know. But City fans lit up a flare after they went 2 up against South Melbourne, which was a bit weird. But
speaking of which, on Friday night too, we saw the big game, 4-2, I should say,
4,293, I think.
So just shy of 4-3.
Yeah.
Turned up at Lakeside. They were anticipating roughly, they wanted to try and get 5K.
It was raining. Like, I don't blame them for not, like, showing up, but...
I think my question to you, though, is, Neil, how did it feel going to a game in November, yet the weather looked like it was a late July, early August, Friday night?
It actually wasn't as bad as people thought it would be, because, like, I remember when South played against Sydney FC in 2017, like, it was, like, torrential rain, like, it was horrible. I think, Clem, you might have been there, but it was, like, it was a different vibe, but I felt South, they got dominated, man.
Yeah.
Off the boil was ridiculous. But it's unfortunate, but I think Quintas Ball will continue on for as long as it can. But yeah, City just ran circles around them.
I'm quite forgetful. I think I might have been like, what happened in that Sydney FC game?
I think they lost 5-1. I think it was Nick Epifano who scored that goal.
I do remember that.
I think Carney scored the first one.
Yeah, I was there. I remember it now. I'm so like, memory wise,
That's like the only NPL game I've actually attended at Lakeside. So. Yeah. I actually reffed on that pitch as well, actually. Yeah. Like, I'm the 12 South Melbourne. It was great. Yeah.
And also, got to give credit, too, to 10 Football and all the stuff they're doing, too, on 10 Play and Paramount Plus, too. The coverage of the FFA Cup over the course of this past few days has been sensational, too. The commentary teams have been fantastic, too.
Yeah.
Good to see Simon Hill there. And
Georgievski.
So,
Glenn Lordog, Ben Homer.
Scott Jamieson.
Jammo.
Providing special comps alongside Zappers last night at GMHBA Stadium. Even Nick Tolios providing his... It was good to have someone who knows the NPL game very, very well, Nick Tolios, to be the one to commentate or... give special comms to an NPL FA Cup game.
I remember they actually called the Oakley South game before it was like July when they went on penalties. And I remember like speaking to Teo and it was like, Tolios is like fantastic. And he's great. And he's actually had a really good coaching career as well. I think he was at Kingston City and then...
He's now at Bentley Greens.
Yeah, Bentley's got that side. Well, they were actually like, I think they were going to finish top two.
Yeah.
They're looking really good. Obviously, they lost Piers Ware. He's gone to the City Football Group Club in China. I don't even know what it's called, to be honest. But
well, they've lost Xavi too now. He's moved over to South
Melbourne. Yeah, Javi Diaz-Lopez. I don't think he was starting, though. They've got Alex Pavlidis as well.
Yeah.
He's also...
Clem's boy, Alex Pavlidis.
Pav is great. Obviously, his day job is within football as well. So, there you go.
and also a few other results too from the course of the FFA Cup.
Magic losing 3-0 to Western Sydney, Newcastle Olympic losing 3-0 to MacArthur,
and Central Coast only getting a goal against Blacktown. But then again, the weather was deplorable.
It wasn't that bad in Mudgee. I think Tristan Prendergast just went sicko mode and just like that a bit insensitive maybe.
I love that term though. It's such a good term.
Yeah. Like Tom uses it. It's like anyway. Yeah. So I think obviously it was a 1-0 and I mean Monty looks all right. I think it was more reflection on Blacktown how good they are. But I want to see a cup set, man.
Yeah.
Next round, obviously Adelaide City play against the winner of Perth Glory vs Victory.
Yep.
Imagine, picture this, yeah? Daniel Sturridge has gone from scoring at Anfield to possibly scoring at Martin Sports Complex.
That place is going to sell out just for the fact that everyone just wants to watch Daniel Sturridge play on the pitch.
I never actually thought about that. Like, I was like, why are you playing FFA Cup game at Martin Sports Complex between two non-Adelaide sides? Yeah. But in hindsight, Sturridge will probably play, so yeah, be good.
Yeah.
Well, indeed. We might as well give our A-League ladder men's predictors as well too then. We've gone through quite a bit, that's for sure. We sort of did our predictor. Neil did his a couple of weeks ago, which I roasted him on Twitter for. This is our A-League ladder predictor.
I think we've all got our ladders done.
Yeah.
By the way, if any of the Twitter folk are listening, this is different. I've changed my expectations just upon the abuse that Tomo gave me on Messenger
a couple weeks ago.
It wasn't even that bad. Clem, do you want to start for us?
Yeah, and I've got a very, typical eye rolling one to start off with. I've got Melbourne City first, so it's pretty hard to go past them with the way they've gone in the last couple of seasons. And I think they'll keep it up. And I think Matthew Lecky is just such a big sort of capture for them in the off-season. I've always been a big Matthew Lecky fan when he was at the Socceroos and overseas, so just the fact that he's back in the A-League, back in his hometown Melbourne, it's going to be very exciting. I've got Perth Glory second.
Jeez.
Maybe I'm getting a bit carried away.
Bit of Sturridge fever.
Bit of Sturridge fever, even though he's a Liverpool boy, but yeah, he was out of the wilderness kind of bit, Sturridge. I mean,
he got banned for betting. Like, he got his contract terminated for in Turkey for like betting.
Oh, okay.
I think it's banned for like 6 months, but like obviously it's been a year since that, so there you go. Yeah. So
okay, yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, because as I was saying,
nobody would mention that because he hadn't really
heard too much about him recently, but yeah. Some guys like Brandon O'Neill has gone back to Perth as well. I've always been a big fan of him. You've got Brad Jones as well, who's obviously had a very good career and gone through some tough times, so it's good to sort of have him back in Australia as well. Third, I've got Sydney FC as well. Got to give them a bit of love, standard. They've done... as we've seen, they've been so consistent over the years, and I think that will be no different. I think maybe I'm not too sure about the Elvis signing, but we'll see how that goes in the course of the season. And I've got Wanderers to finish fourth as well. Obviously, I don't really, going back to 2016 now, you've got to have a team, but don't really have an A-League team. But I think the Wanderers always have a really soft spot for the Wanderers, and I just want them to do well. And I want to see, I just love seeing the Wanderers do well, fans in the crowd and pumping up. So I'm hoping they'll finish top four. So I've got them top four. I've got Melbourne Victory fifth. So they've had quite a fair few, big signings during the off season.
Like Popo's been very busy during the off season.
Yeah, so you've obviously got Spira who's come back, and then Jason Davidson. So you've got some big Socceroos that have had World Cup experience essentially. I'm not 100% convinced because I do see some people think Victory they'll be up there, but. I guess it's all about chemistry and gelling well, but and I've got Adelaide just sneaking in for the finals as
I told Neil that last week on the show that I'm very bullish on potentially an Adelaide or Central Coast.
I'm just not on Adelaide because you let go of LZ who's quite good.
Yeah.
Ryan Strain's gone to Israel. I feel like it's not a case of them being worse. It's a case of other teams being better. Mm. I don't know. It's my opinion. It's my two cents.
And yeah, I guess I'll fast forward through the rest of it. Got Mariners 7th, Jets 8th, MacArthur 9th, Raw 10th, Western United 11th, and then I've got Wellington to finish last.
So, jeez. Yeah. Interesting.
No,
a stark contrast.
No love for the Wollongong boys, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got City. I think, yeah, we can all agree that dominating South Melbourne is a very good first impression. Sydney FC, Victory at 3rd. I think Popper's just going to gel this team together so well. MacArthur at 4th. Despite their alleged off-field issues, they're doing quite well. Obviously, Federici retired, and I think they've got, Philip Curto there. So, that's good. Western Sydney at 5th. I think Robinson's going to steer the ship this season. West United in 6th. I think Aloisi's done a decent job. The win last night wasn't entirely convincing, but you know, once Rene Kryn gets in there, I feel like he's going to manage the middle of the park well. Brisbane Roar in 7th. Don't really have the quality. Jets looking better at 8th. I think they'll be quite good. Yeoman's a really good leader for them. And I feel the foreigners, Daniel Pena, scored the free kick yesterday, was really good. Wellington Phoenix in 9th. I don't know. I feel like Talai's a really good coach, but they haven't really got the quality in. Stephen Taylor retired on the edge of the season, so difficult. Mariners in 10th. 10th. They've lost Stajic. That's why they're in 10th. Adelaide United in 11th. Again, a case of other teams being better. And I think the Phoenix in last. I feel, look, Talai's a good coach. Oh, I'll put them twice, mate. What have I done here? Who am I missing? I believe I might be missing a team. Well, there you go. The Glory. I feel like put the Glory in 9th, put the Phoenix last.
Okay, yeah.
The Phoenix, yeah, just again, they've lost Stephen Taylor. I think for the Glory in 9th, yeah, Sturridge will be good, but he's going to get injured sometime this season. I don't wish it on him, but yeah. You know, he's obviously going to light up the league in terms of his personality and stuff. His haircut stuff was brilliant. But we'll see what happens. And Tomo, I guess you can run through this quickly.
I'll do this as quickly as possible. So I've got Melbourne City on top. I think it's a unanimous decision that City are probably going to claim the minor premiership again this season. They've shown now, and we've spoken about this quite a bit on the show, Neil, that Melbourne City, they are now, they're the bench, they're the benchmark when it comes to what Victorian football should be like. A great academy, good culture.
And their front three is entirely Victorian.
Yeah, exactly.
Socceroos
as well.
So,
and their NPL side was flourishing before the cancellation of the NPL season too. Sydney FC second. I think they're probably the ones that are going to be very hard to beat over the course of the season. I've got MacArthur third, similar to your thoughts to Neil.
They've got Danny De Silva, Juric, De Villa. Noon.
Some big signings.
Yeah.
Much. Jordan March.
I think they've got good foundations to finish in the top four as well. Even though, you know, they've lost a lot of their, lost two big names, one in assistant coaching capacity and one as a playing capacity as well. And some other stuff that's been happening at board level as well. I've got Victory fourth. I think this is the season for them to bounce back. I don't think they'll make a massive dent in finals, but I think making finals is what Tony Popovich wants to do with this side, and I'd like to see this happen with them as well. Got the Wanderers finishing fifth. I think the Wanderers, they're primed to have a consistent season as well. Again, probably not going to make the biggest dent in finals, but making it there will be a good step ahead. Adelaide United sixth. I've got Adelaide and Central Coast. You can chop and choose because I'm very bullish on both sides. Mariners have lost a few big names. Adelaide have lost a few big names too, but I sort of look at their youth a little bit and say, look, they're going to grow. And I'm very, very big on Carl Veit as Adelaide United coach too. I've been a big fan of Carl Veit for a while now. I think he's going to be really good. I've got Perth Glory 8th, Newcastle 9th, Western United 10th, Brisbane Roar 11th, and yeah, I think the Knicks are unfortunately going to finish bottom of the ladder as well.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that playing in Australia for, three seasons now is just a bit... It sucks. I really feel for them. Hopefully the New Zealand border opens again and we can see Jason Pine on commentary again.
Oh, yeah.
Because I miss Piney. He's great.
I feel bad for the Wellington fans too because they get that small glance of getting to watch their team play over in New Zealand towards the latter part of last season. And now they're basically being told, because you guys are still in some sort of restrictions... We need to fly you to Australia to get the season up and going.
It's funny because I saw Renato Piscopo a couple of weeks ago. Just I was like riding around in Port Melbourne. I'm like in my car, see, I pop out the window. Oh, that's Rana Piscopo on a bike. So I was like, okay. Yeah. I think he's been training with Mark Tocasso, who's a Caldy United head coach. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been good stuff.
Yeah, it's such a ridiculous situation. I don't want to get into politics, but yeah, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Stupid at this point.
You wouldn't know. You've obviously bloody Japan, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
So a bit different between the three of us. Some teams in the same spot, some teams not in the same spot. So I think Clem's is a little bit more cute, as they like to say.
Yeah, I guess a bit of a standard sort of a bit boring sort of first place finisher, but Melbourne City, for obvious reasons, been at the top flight for the last couple of seasons. And
if it makes you feel any better, Neil still can't believe I'm very bullish on Central Coast and Adelaide finishing a little bit higher.
They've signed 23-year-old foreigners. Don't have the greatest pair. I mean, the Frenchman, Benny Nicololo, scored yesterday, but yeah, Nikolai Muller's a good signing, but I don't know. I think Adelaide, for them, it's just a case of other teams getting better, but
yeah.
Obviously, Josh Cavallo's at left back. He's obviously done a really good job.
And I think also the one team in particular, too, which we just spoke about, too, Wellington, they're going to be the ones to struggle this season due to the fact they're going to have to travel quite a bit before they get to play a home game over back in New Zealand.
Yeah, they've got Matthew Bozanowski, who I'm keen to see. He played for the Macedonian under-21s with Stefan Kolakowski as well. So, played against just your casual Camavinga and William Saliba. So, really good.
It is indeed. We'll take a short break now here on Clutch Radio because we've still got a big half an hour left before we wrap things up for another week too. Christina Trocheska is going to join us to chat everything Women's League as well. The TOL, as we said, doing fantastic stuff and looking forward to getting her thoughts on the upcoming A-League men, but also A-League women's season too, because there's a couple of curtain raises too that I want to touch base with her in regards to. And of course, we've got Jack George from Kick 360, he's going to join us too to chat everything Sydney FC. Neil Simons, Michael Thompson, Clem Tito, more on Clutch Radio on the other side of this.
You're listening to Kickoff on Clutch Radio.
Good afternoon, welcome back to Clutch Radio for your Sunday afternoon. Neil Simons, Michael Thompson, Clem Tito with you. Here on Clutch Radio, you can follow us on Twitter at Kickoff Southern. But joining us now, the TOL, they've done some fantastic stuff over the journey too. Clem Tino knows them very, very well, and we appreciate him asking our next guest to join us for a chat. She is one of the trailblazers in regards to the TOL. Her name is Christina Trocheska. You would have seen her work on Twitter as well with the Women's League and everything in between too. Christina, good afternoon, and welcome to Kickoff. Christina Trocheska joining us there to chat everything. It's going to be a good season ahead, that's for sure.
Good to be on this morning. And Clem, welcome back, man.
Yeah, thanks, Chrissy. It's a strange feeling being back, but it's good to get back into doing some good work with these boys.
Oh, don't worry, Chrissy. It feels weird that he's actually here too. I said to him last week, I'm like, do you want to do kickoff next last week? I said, I'm like, do you want to join us for kickoff the next day? He's like, nup, I can't do it. So it's good to finally have him back.
For sure.
You go.
I'll let you go, Clem, with the first question.
Yeah, well, Chrissy, it's a big season ahead. And obviously, the Ladies League has come in leaps and bounds over the last few years. So I guess you must be really looking forward to, a big season, obviously, with the Wanderers. I'm not sure if you heard, but we sort of went through our ladder predictions just then. I had the Wanderers to finish fourth. I mean, how do you sort of see your boys and girls going this season?
Fourth is very kind, Glenn.
No faith in Carl.
Oh, yeah, looking at the team, I can probably agree around the same. Sixth, fifth or fourth would probably be the lucky position for our men's side. As for our women's side, I'd say mid-table as well. I do have faith in Catherine Cornelia as our new manager, but I have yet to see the girls and see how they perform for pre-season. So I guess after pre-season, that'll give me a roundabout idea of where we'll stand.
And I think the good thing too, Chrissy, is that we've seen the introduction of some new teams into the A-League women's season as well, and it's good that we're going to have Western United joining at the very next season too. How good is it that the women's game is continuing to grow and grow, and that every A-League side is going to eventually have their own women's side in the competition?
It's magnificent. It's wonderful. That's what we wanted from day one. I mean, a few of us are still fighting over getting Canberra United a men's side, so hopefully that will be also be in the future as well. But, yeah, of course, seeing the women's game expand, especially for the Women's World Cup coming up, it's a great position to be in. Both international and club football is just growing in Australia, and the APL and what they're hoping to bring to football, the landscape here, is very exciting to see.
I think, Chrissy, obviously, a number of signings this off-season for clubs across the competition, and good to see Katrina Gorry back. Of course, Courtney Nevin signed with Victory, and we're really having an interesting, you know, squad composition across the competition. I think Briley Henry, obviously, making a Matilda squad was fantastic. Just your thoughts on perhaps some of the surprise packages to watch in this upcoming campaign?
There's a lot. I think a lot, of course, has to do with the reflection of what COVID has done to our league. Of course, we're still struggling to get a few international stars over. We're just starting to get them back. But as I had mentioned last season a few times, there were conversations where we were worried about not being able to get those international stars over, but it gave our young guns and our homegrown girls an opportunity to shine. And it's going to happen again this season. We're not completely out of the woods to be able to get as many international stars over here as we want. Again, we're going to have to be relying on our young NPL players, as well as our university players and a few of our homegrown girls who do have citizenship here to come back and play for their W League club. So it's very exciting to see these amazing packages come from out of nowhere. So there will be more to come this season.
Speaking of out of nowhere, Chrissy, I mean, years ago, sort of, we were still working as journalists in covering the A-League, along came this website, well, Twitter page called, you know, TLL, and, you know, fast forward, you know, 6-7-odd years later, and you guys have really sort of, as I said before, really sort of sprung up and become this big sort of, great voice, I guess, for the game. I mean, how does that sort of feel? I mean, we've talked about it a lot, sort of, off air, but how does it sort of feel that you know you're being such a big voice for the game, and also you getting to do a lot of stuff with a lot of players also, and giving a lot of the female players a voice as well, Chrissy?
Sometimes I still have to register. It really does. Sometimes there are days where you sit there and you go, wow, you are an influence, and you're quite an influential figure individually as well as a whole with the ladies league. So it's crazy how far we've come. We've only been together for, it will be 4 years very, very soon. And we've done a lot in 4 years. It started off with me and Rosa first meeting at an FFA Cup game. We just shook hands and said, let's do this. And it just started off something so small. Just a bunch of women writing about the game that we love and speaking about it. And now it's become almost a full-time job. And bit by bit, with the World Cup coming up, we do hope that it becomes a legit paid full-time position, but it is quite crazy, and I don't think I'd be where I am with other ladies league, to be honest.
And Chrissy, probably the best thing to come out of the A-League Women's as well is to see so many NPL players get the opportunity to gain a play as well. I know there's a few players from Victoria who've been signed with, say, Perth Glory, Melbourne City, Sydney, and it's really good to see them grow and grow and grow. How important is it for the continuation of the product itself to potentially see the players continue to develop in a very big way, to not only prepare themselves for NPL games week in, week out during the winter, but then also start looking towards the summer and gain that opportunity to play for one of the big A-League women's teams?
Extremely important, extremely. And I'm glad that it's getting there. It's still not where we want it to be, but it's a lot further than what it was when I was a kid. A lot of people stopped playing around 14, 15 because there was no other pathway, there was no other direction to go. And our current Matildas, a lot of them had to fight for their position. So I put my hat off to them, especially with the players like Lucy Devanna and Lydia Williams. They were players from the generation where so many people said there is no direction for women's football, there's not solid payment, why are you still doing this? But their determination actually made that pathway for the girls who are currently playing now. So we see Maya Markovsky at Melbourne Victory and playing at Blacktown City for the NPL. And with what she's doing now currently, in a better spot than, of course, the former generation was in, she's going to give a better position for the next generation. So it's very important to continue to do this, to make sure that there's summer football, that there's winter football, there's indoor opportunities, there's commentary opportunities, there's media opportunities, there's management opportunities, and it just needs to be out there. Otherwise, I mean, it's not the world game unless everybody is involved, right?
Exactly. And my follow-up question too is that how good is it to see 16, 17-year-olds similar to a Kyra Cooney Cross get the opportunity to not only be a hero, say, in the W League Grand Final, the A-League Women's Grand Final, but also gain the opportunity to now get to represent her national team at the biggest stage, like we saw how good she was at the Olympics, and we're seeing how good she is too at the Matildas now. And it's good to see those young girls get an opportunity at such a very young age to represent their country at such a big level.
It's amazing. It's crazy. And she's such a monster at such a young age. And I've said before, a lot of people have asked me, do you think because she's so young and she's in this position in football that she may burn out too quickly? And I don't think that, because she has that ambition and she has the skill to continue to keep going and growing. She can only get better from here. I don't think that she'll burn out, nor will the other set of girls who are at the same age as her will burn out. We have Mary Fowler, who is also an absolute monster. She has thrived in the Matilda squad. She's thrived in France playing for Montpellier, and she's another player that is only going to get better and better. And I think this next generation of players, being so young, they've had inspirations from the players in past, and they're just going to get younger and younger and even more determined.
Well said, Chrissy. I mean, I think around Rio 2016, I just remember speaking to a lot of, I guess, you know, former Matildas, current players, and I guess a lot of pundits. And at the time, they were saying that, you know, this was our opportunity to win a gold medal at the Rio 2016 Olympics. And obviously that didn't happen. And, you know, there was talking about, oh, this was our sort of our golden generation. But at the time, I was kind of just thinking, usually that's a term that means that it's only going to happen once. But ever since then, a lot of those girls that have sprung up, you know, the likes of Kyra Cooney Cross, as Tomo's just said, and a lot of sort of exciting players that we've even spoken to on the show that will probably and will become Matildas. I mean, it's pretty exciting times, especially with such a big sort of tournament coming up in 2023, Chrissy. And I mean, yeah, it would be a bit of a dream, I guess, for you to sort of get involved with that, get involved professionally, wouldn't it?
Indeed. I'm really working on it now, so we may get it solid and set to go, because I know a lot of work goes into 2023. It doesn't happen 6 months prior. It's definitely the whole 4 years of working hard to get there for both the players, the coaching staff, as well as the media and anybody else who was involved. So we're working on it. We really are. We're doing it day and night to ensure that we're able to not only bring the game to the entire world as well as our home country, but enjoy every second and make sure it's like a story to tell the grandkids, that grand story.
And Chrissy, I've got to give you a cheeky plug here. I mean, I guess like before setting off a couple of months ago, I guess a very stressful month, and you know, that little bit of a frantic flight up to Sydney, just still very grateful that it was probably the least sort of, I guess, stressful time in May at that time. It's good to sort of spend it with you guys watching a bit of football, so a nice thank you for that. I mean, I'm just telling Tom right now, we got to watch some of the old school sort of legends players play up in Sydney, which was
that's cool.
Yeah, which was a fun night. But I had to sneak off after, you know, when the men's came up in the last game. But yeah, it was a good time, wasn't it?
It was a great weekend, and I still remember that afternoon that we had. We were meant to only spend a few hours having a drink and then seeing you off. I think we spent the entire day from midday all the way up until you had to head off to the airport.
Yeah, I was in such unique circumstances. It's like you're just watching. I was like, don't you have to go soon? I was like, yeah, I probably do have to go soon, actually. So still had to go all the way back to my hotel and then get my bag and then sneak off. And then, it was quite a surreal sort of situation. But, I think Neil's keen to sort of get a word in here.
Yeah, I think I guess some plans for TLL for the upcoming season. Obviously, it's a new era of the game. Viacom have invested heavily, and it's good to see that the broadcast standards as well for the A-League women will be, I think, the same standard as the A-League men as well, which is fantastic. Obviously, some games on FTA as well, which is good to see. But some plans for TLL for the upcoming season. What should we be expecting?
Yeah, give us some scoops, Chrissy.
Yeah, we want to hear it.
Rose is going to kill me. No, I'll give you an
media
idea
manager.
Of what we're doing.
Didn't go through appropriate protocols.
She's going to send me a death threat text right now.
Well, you're talking to me, so it's all G, I reckon.
We're working hard. We really are working on planning to get more involved speaking to the players. not just get the typical interview questions up there. I mean, the ones that we hear all the time, we kind of get tired of it. Hey, we're trying to get a little more, not just personal, but a little more fun, open up and really show the beauty of this game behind the scenes, not just the professional side of football. I think that's what TLL has always been about. We're always trying to show the fans, for the fans, but also a side of the players that not many people get to see. So player interviews, hopefully more match day engagement. We really want to focus on women's football a lot more. We're hoping to be covering a lot more W League this season, as well as preparation for the Women's World Cup, because international is back. The Matildas are back on home soil. Hopefully there will be a few more games ahead leading up to 2023, where they'll be in Melbourne, they'll be in Queensland, they'll be in Sydney, and we'll hopefully be there as well covering everything.
And you, Chrissy, you mean questions like, you know, what's it like in between those four walls, and, you know, full credit to the boys and the girls, and, you know, it's a game of two halves, you know. Those are the type of questions we want. We knew they were going to come out hard.
All the best, of course.
Well, Chrissy, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We might actually, we would love to have you as part of our team from Sydney, though, but we'd love to sort of just touch base with you, like maybe once every 2 weeks or so, if you're keen to jump on the phone with us for a quick chat every Sunday morning, or most Sunday mornings.
I'd be happy to. If I'm not pulling my hair out doing my university assignments, I'll be there.
And Chrissy, this is... completely sort of like, this is completely ad hoc. This is not discussed by Tomo and I. This is just on the spot right now. Yep. So, Tomo, you are cheeky devil, you are.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Chris. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Chrissy.
And we'll definitely touch base with you over the course of the season.
You too, guys. Have a good weekend.
Christina Trajeska joining us there, and a big season for both the A-League men's and the A-League women's too. She's very bullish on both the Wanderers men and women this season.
Yeah, and it was quite funny how she said I was a bit generous having the Wanderers so high up on my ladder predictor. But, you know, as I was saying before, you've got to give, I like giving the Wanderers some love. Got a bit of a soft spot for the Wanderers, and love seeing their fans get up and about. So, yeah, it's a huge, huge season ahead with much needed changes going across the board in the APL. So I'm very excited for it, Tomo.
And I think as well, it'll be good to definitely have her join us over the course of the season too. It's good to have more voices too, especially from a women's game standpoint too.
Yeah, for sure. And it's come in sort of like such leaps and bounds over the last couple of years. And as I was saying before to her, what they've come from just being like a small little Twitter page, being a bit banterous, have come to really become this
cult hero.
Yeah.
Cult following.
Yeah, big following. But not just that, their content's good content. They're actually getting, you know, they're a great voice for the players. Yeah. They talk to the players. They get a big following from the players. So it's such a great thing, and very cheeky by you to sort of, we didn't even discuss that, but we'd love to have her on as a regular every Sunday.
Absolutely. And we got to quickly touch, we'll quickly just mention as well, good job that Ten Football and Paramount Plus are going to do with the A-League Women's Season 2 this season too. So they're going to put a lot of love into the women's game as much as the men's game.
Yeah, much needed. I guess like back in the day, you'd sort of have it on ABC.
One game a week, which is still not enough. Yeah, but it's good that Ten and Paramount Plus are going, well, we're going to have all the games stream, whether it's on 10 Peach, 10 Bold, Channel 10, or even just Paramount Plus too, but you've got these options to watch the A-League women's games too.
Yeah, it's massive, and it's what we want. We need more sort of eyeballs on it, and as you said before, like, you know, most people probably would be just probably inadvertently just flick over at ABC on a Sunday afternoon and just happen to stumble across the women's game, but now, you know, would be more aware of it. You'd actually see it in your TV guides, and, you know, it'll be a big thing coming up.
Indeed, indeed. We'll take a short break here on Clutch Radio for your Sunday afternoon. Got Jack George from Kick 360 to join us on the other side of this.
You're listening to Kickoff on Clutch Radio.
Almost done for another week here on Kickoff, another big edition as well. And of course, Clem, while you've been away, we've partnered up with the friendly guys at Kick 360, 360.com.au is where you can find all their wonderful work, and it's, well, I don't want to sort of pump up his own tires a little bit more, but it's co-headed up by this man, Neil Simons. He's done a fantastic job assembling together a good team of young and up-and-coming journos who are really doing well for the men's game, the women's game, as well as the local game as well. One of them in particular is only about 16 years of age. His name is Jack George. He joins us this afternoon. Jack, good afternoon. Welcome to Kickoff.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be on. Thank you for having me.
We might as well kick off with Sydney FC. Now, Clem, Neil and I, we did our ladder predictor a little bit earlier on in the show, and we had Sydney FC pretty high up. What? First things first, what are your expectations heading into the new season for the Sky Blues?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting season because obviously last year, I guess that they lost Lafondre and they didn't really have a clinical striker up front, and it relied more on Costa Barbarossa's to deliver, which he's not that kind of player, whereas this season they have both Lafondre and Bobo. So I think it'll be interesting because I think we could see them scoring a lot more goals than they did previously and take their chances, which is something they struggled to do last campaign.
And I think the question with Sydney FC, Jack, is I think more so their squad continuity. They've obviously lost Ryan McGowan. They brought in James Donaghy, Elvis Kamsoba, Max Burgess, and Connor O'Toole. Are those additions going to enrich that side, or could they perhaps play, you know, sort of, could they be detrimental to their potential, you know, title success for this campaign?
No, I think that one thing that Sydney does really well is the consistent recruiting, and they recruit similar players. So you look at Ryan McGowan leaving and James Donaghy comes in, and he's quite a similar build, a similar play style, and you've also got Ben Wallen, so their squad depth this season is amazing. And then you have Elvis Kamsoba, who's obviously had a really good pre-season and will be a good squad player who can, I guess, push to come on in the last few minutes of the game, particularly when Sydney are up. His pace in the break will be really important. And you have like Max Burgess as well. So I think the main problem with Sydney last season was it was a bit too systemised based on having quite players on the latter stages of their careers, whereas now you have the likes of Burgess, Kamsoba coming in into their more attacking areas. I think they can supply a bit more flair and, I guess, just like going against the general system and playing dribbling, which was something that I think they struggled with, taking on players from wide areas, and particularly with Burgess playing these nice passes through to the likes of Costa Barbarossa, and then I guess Kamsoba coming off the bench.
Yeah, Jack, before when we were talking about our predictions and I guess the signings Sydney FC had made, I'd sort of made a sort of comment about Elvis and I guess the sort of what he can bring to the team. I mean, I guess how do you sort of see that as a signing as a whole and how he'll go? Because obviously I'm not sure if these two others will agree with me. I think he's got a sort of a real point to prove in this upcoming season. So I guess how are you sort of feeling towards that?
Yeah, well, first of all, when the signing was announced, there was obviously a lot of people wondering what was happening. But he will be at least a start. He's not coming in and replacing Miloš Ninkovic or something like that. Like, he's coming in as a squad player. So I think that that's a really good point in terms of he does have a point to prove, because he's 25 now. He's getting into what would be the prime of his career. And I think last season he impressed to an extent at Melbourne Victory, obviously, in a pretty not a great side. But I think that the most important thing for him is that he might not get the minutes from the off, but he will probably, towards the end of the season, particularly with the cluster of games surrounding, I think it's in December, January, where they kind of have a few games where they're 3 or 4 days apart with the Big Blue on a Wednesday, I think this is where he could kind of get an opportunity. And it's about taking that opportunity, and he does supply something very different to the Sydney attack in terms of he's a bit more of a maverick player, likes to take people on. And I think that under the guidance of Steve Corica, who seems to be really good at developing individual players, and obviously the likes of Lafondre and Costa Barbarossa, I think he could turn into a good player for Sydney FC, albeit one that will probably be on the bench for majority of the season.
He's just duffel. Jack, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. We're running out of time just a little bit, but really appreciate you jumping on the Chat Everything Sky Blues with us, and we can't wait to chat to you throughout the course of the season.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Jack George joining us there to chat everything Sydney FC, and hopefully they're in for a good season this season as always. But we're wrapping things up here. Neil, really quickly before we sign off, what is to come on Kick 360 this week?
Yeah, Louis Dorigo, A-League Men's is starting very soon, so we'll get some stuff on that as well. A lot of stuff on the women's game too. And
I think the season starts next week.
Yeah, it's great, man.
It's good.
Good to be back in a stadium, hopefully. And yeah, I mean, you know, experienced, you know, the first sort of experience within the press box last season. Just keen to get back in there, to be honest. I miss it. And yeah, obviously we've got a little bit of a tease with the FFA Cup, but yeah, nothing beats a good old Saturday evening at Amy Park, and just, you know, jump in that press box and just chill out. It's good stuff, good vibes.
Really quickly before we sign off as well, the four games, so we will be able to review these four games next Sunday.
Mm.
Really quick predictions from the both of you. I'll also put my predictions out there too. So City, Brisbane to kickstart the 21-22 campaign. 4-1. City? 4-1. Yeah, I've 4-1. Got City winning 3-0.
I've got 3-0 as well.
Yeah.
The Sydney Derby, which is going to be fantastic to watch too, the Wanderers and Sydney FC.
I'm going to say 3-2 to Sydney. Sorry, to Western Sydney. I think, Carl Robertson's got a good squad there. I think they'll hopefully get 20,000-ish. So
yeah. Great. I'm going to say 2-2. I think it's going to be a lot of drama, as it always is, when these two sides play as well. And I know one person in particular who loves watching the Sydney Derby too. He's got no affiliation with either club, but... good friend of mine, Daniel McBreen, absolutely loves watching the City Derby.
McBreen.
Yeah.
He's great.
You, Clem?
Yeah, I'll go 1-0 to the Wanderers, actually, yeah. And, yeah, Sydney Derbies, I've got to experience it. I've done two Sydney Derbies, I think, so easily the best, for me, the best derby in the league, so.
By a mile, yeah.
So, yeah, I think the Wanderers will get up on this one.
Western United and Melbourne Victory?
I think Victory got this 2-1. Away from home.
Yeah, 2-1.
Western United got some good foreigners, like some good Balkan stuff with Pridjevic and those guys. So I think
he was good last night.
Eh.
He was good in patches last night.
Yeah, I mean that was obviously a howler from Jack Duncan, but yeah, I think Victory will get over the line. Good to send those fans home happy. It'll probably be a packed out GMHBA of Victory fans. Don't see. I think it's just a really unfortunate situation with West United. There's not enough sort of boutique stadiums in Melbourne, so. Yeah, Clem, what do you think on that West United game?
Yeah, I'll go Victory 2-0, I think. I think just to get the ground running. I don't think Western United will have the best of seasons, so I think
Victory 2-0. Aloisi Ball, not a fan, fair enough.
And my favourite as well, my favourite fixture, it's always the best fixture, with Perth Glory kick off at 10:05 PM on the East Coast and finish at midnight.
That's a lovely time.
Perth Glory, Adelaide United.
I will be back on the train from GMHBA, so I'm not sure that's great, but we'll see.
I've used to work on a few of those Perth Glory, Adelaide United games back in the day too. They were fun working too.
Good stuff.
Midnight, 12:30. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw, I think, between Perth and Adelaide.
Yeah, I'd say next week. They're trying to fill the park, HBF Park, so... Yeah, Sturridge will probably get a cameo. Be good. It's good to see him. I can't believe he's playing the bloody A League. It's crazy. Like it's awesome. But should be a 2-1 win to Perth. But I think both won't be making finals this year, to be honest.
And Clem,
I'll go Perth 4-0.
Jeez. To be fair though, they actually did romp Adelaide 4-0
last season. Did.
Yeah, in that same fixture. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
You can follow us on Twitter at Kickoff Southern for everything in regards to the show. Boys, it's been another big show. Thank you so much for your time as well. Good to have Clem back, Neil Simons. As always, thank you, great man. And we're going to wrap things up here. We're going to come back same time, same place next Sunday afternoon on Kickoff here on Clutch Radio. Exciting times ahead with the A-League season starting in 5 days' time.